I had this tremendous revelation as I sat there. Because 25 years ago, I was sitting on a dirt floor in the basement of a dilapidated house in Providence, Rhode Island, with heroin addicts, crack addicts, with one swinging light bulb, addicted to drugs and every other thing that the devil could throw at me. And then Saturday night, I had a different seat. Only God, you know, I give him all the praise for that. Just, he's an amazing God.
Yes.
I want to look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. And I want to take us through a walk in the wilderness. And let's read this. Hebrews 3:15 says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. That may not mean what you think it means. I hope today to clear that up for us, what that means. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to anoint us, anoint our ears, to hear what the Spirit would say, to show us clearly your word today and make it real to us, Father, what you want from us, what you wanted for those children back then, and what you want from your children today, that just trust you and believe you as the song was singing. And I ask you to do all this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it was about 3 years ago in July, and I was studying Hebrews, and I came across this, and I want to read 15 again. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. That is speaking to us. Verse 16 says, for who having heard rebelled. Now I'm reading out of the New King James, so you'll have to extrapolate. But it's a question. For who having rebelled, who having heard rebelled? Who? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey, those who did not believe? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And I read that, and I thought, wait a minute. Moses is in heaven. He didn't enter the promised land. So, I looked up that word rest. Verse 18, to whom he swore they would not enter his rest. And I found this. I found that it's the word, and I won't pronounce it right, but I put it up higher. I found that it's the word katapausis. It means to repose, to put to rest, to settle down, to cease, to make quiet, to lead to a quiet abode, to restrain, to cause one striving to desist. Okay? So that rest, I call it the sanctifying rest. Stop working kind of rest. There's a synonym that's anapawau. Again, Lauren. I'm butchering the word, but look it up. Anapawau, it's a cinnamon. It's found in Matthew 11:28. And Matthew 11:28 says, you know this verse, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and burden is light. That word anapawau, it means, it's a synonym of katapausis, this rest we're talking about. It means to refresh, to cause one or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Now get that. The word anapawau. Ana means in the midst of. Powwow means to make the rest. So in the midst of our activity, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're struggling with, you can rest. You can have this sanctify and rest. Now the children of Israel, they would not enter this rest. They would not trust him. They would not believe him. We're going to see that today. So let's look at that. Let's look at the children of Israel. They go, they're in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And, you know, I was in bondage for 37 years to Satan. And some of you were saved later in life. You know what that's all about. But here they are bound. They're children of Israel. And God finally says, like the word of God came through, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go.
Yes.
Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And when did God... when did Pharaoh let God's people go? When they took the blood of the lamb, pointing to Christ, and put it on the doorpost and header of the house, and they got in the house. And then when the death angel came that night, they were let go. They were delivered. It was the same for us. For my example, I'll give you my testimony. I want to make it brief, but I told you that I was bound by cocaine, and that I was delivered in 1993. And I didn't think about it. I never considered it again. I'm talking about the message of the cross now. I'm talking about the blood on the doorpost and header that got those people out of bondage. And I hadn't thought about cocaine. I was serving the Lord for 12 years. And it was 2005 in October. And I was at a low point in my life, and I rarely get discouraged or down. I'm an optimistic kind of person. But my business was going bad, and I had some other issues, and just things were tough. I was discouraged. And I had some money in my pocket, and I was at a city about 35, 40 miles away. At 10 o'clock in the morning, and I came to a red light, very discouraged, and this guy walks from my right in front of my truck. And I knew, I hadn't thought about cocaine in 12 years, 13 years, but I knew that guy could get me cocaine. My mind, my flesh, my person said, just get high, man. Just get this guy right here. All I had to do was push the button of the window. I'm talking about delivered by the blood now. All I had to do is push and roll that window down and say, hey man. But thank God, because I've sat under the proper teaching. Thank God, because the Word of God teaches us to trust in the Lord like we were singing, and don't trust our own strength. I didn't fight the sin temptation. Thank God I did not fight the sin temptation. I mean, if I wasn't sitting under the proper teaching, I would have. But that moment, which took 1,001, 1,002, 4 seconds, I said, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you delivered me from this bondage. You delivered me. Deliver me now, Lord. Deliver me now. And that spirit of temptation left me. The light turned green, and I went through the light, not just delivered from that moment, but discouragement left. I had the radio cranked up, praising the Lord. And I'm telling you that the cross of Christ, only what Jesus did would have the power to deliver me in that moment, in that temptation. And the children of Israel were delivered by that blood. The same blood that pointed to that same Jesus. Then they go a little further in the wilderness, like to the Red Sea. Just a few days. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. The Red Sea is a pretty big problem. Let's look at Exodus 14, verse 9. So, if you need deliverance from a bondage, it's the blood. It's the cross. They come to the Red Sea in Exodus 14, 9, and the Egyptians pursued them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, overtook them camping by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because you are no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us so, to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. You know, Brother Swagger teaches it. The Christian, with this huge problem in front of them, they don't see the third option. The first option is die. The second option is go back to the world, go back to where you came from. But the right option is what the Lord gave us. And it's right here in verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They were already delivered by the blood.
Yes.
If you don't stand still, you're not going to see this deliverance. We must stand still in the midst of these problems. You know, my granddaughter, our granddaughter, got cancer when she was 20 months old. A rhabdomyosin sarcoma. It's a very fast-growing cancer. And I'll tell you what, when your oldest 20-month-old, 20-pound granddaughter gets cancer, you've got three places to go. Thank God that we knew to take it to the Lord. And I mean take it to the Lord. I'm talking about rest, the catapausis rest, the rest, the sanctifying rest, to repose, to believe Him, to just say, Lord, this is You. Father, You've got this. We're believing You. And the oncologist at Cleveland Clinic, they wanted to give her 40 chemo treatments. We had to take this, we had to do the surgery and remove the tumor, but they wanted to give her 40 treatments of chemo. It would have killed her. I know it would have. The Lord told us and told my daughter and son-in-law, don't do it. And we had to get a lawyer and fight the powers to be for the right not to give her chemo. Thank God she's 7 and 8 years old today, serving the Lord, born again, healthy as can be. Amen. Why? Because they stood still. What do you got? Oh, sure. I took it off, so
it's
my fault.
That's why it's popping.
All right. They stood still.
They turned them off so you can do
it. Oh, okay.
Okay. Can you get it?
Yeah, I can get it. So they stood still at the sea.
Yes.
And they saw the salvation of the Lord. How did that come about? God told Moses, take the rod, a type of the cross, and hold the rod over the Red Sea. Not the blue sea, not the green sea. Hold the rod over the Red Sea. And the waters departed. The problem went. If you will look to the cross of Christ over your big problem, whatever your big problem is, that water will part. And then Pharaoh was drowned in the blood, defeated by the blood. The Red Sea came back on top of Pharaoh, on top of the devil. The blood.
Yes, the blood.
And they go just a little further.
Thank you, Lord.
In the wilderness. And they come to the bitter waters of Marah, found in chapter 15. We're walking through the wilderness with them. This is why God said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. He didn't mean heaven. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Just for a minute. The Bible says, now it came to pass about 8 days after these that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked to him who were Moses and Elijah. Moses is out on the Mount of Transfiguration. I swore in my wrath they should not enter my rest. But Moses went to heaven. He's on Mount Transfiguration. Now watch this. Moses represents the law here.
That's right.
And Elijah represents the prophets. And they were talking. What were they talking about? Was Moses talking about the Red Sea? You should have been there. You should have seen it. Was Elijah talking about being translated or the prophets of Baal dying? No. Look at verse 31. And who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. They were talking about the cross. They were talking about the cross. They were talking. to the cross. That he would accomplish. No man took his life. He gave it freely. He gave it for us. For our salvation. Praise the Lord. But also so we might rest.
Yes, now.
So Moses is in heaven. But he didn't enter the promised land. So they come to the bitter waters of Marah. And there's a real problem. They can't drink the water. Are you thirsty? Is there a bitterness there? Marah means bitter. Is there something in your past, a scar, someone did you wrong? You can't get over it. You see, if you're bound and you got a problem, it's the blood on the doorpost in heaven. Amen. If you got a big problem, pray. The Red Sea is a pretty big problem. The army of Egypt coming behind you. That's a big problem. The answer is the cross of Christ. Now you got the bitter waters. And God told Moses, take a tree, a type of the cross, and put it in the water. And the water was made sweet.
Glory.
The water was made sweet. And they were able to drink the water. In another country, I have to be careful with this testimony. But this man came to one of our pastors' conferences. And he said, this is right. This is it. This message is it. And he came to camp meeting. Because he bought himself a ticket and he came to camp meeting. And he got totally, like, revelation knowledge of the message of the cross. He's been living, been living for God for 20 years. Never heard this and totally delivered. And understood sanctification by faith. Of course, we're all working that in progress. But he has a friend who has a real big problem. And he goes back to his country and he tells his friend, his good friend, his best friend, I have the answer for your problem. What was the problem? He was abused as a boy. Sexually abused. He's a pastor now. Sexually abused. Married with a beautiful daughter. But still has nightmares, visions, dreams, evil thoughts. Just can't get this out of his mind. For 20 years he's been, and he's a pastor for 18, 16 years. But still not delivered. Talking about the bitter waters, the scars, the past, the things that you can't take care of on your own.
That's right.
That only the cross can do.
That's right.
He's tried everything. This man's tried everything. So my friend, who's following me around these pastors' conferences, tells his buddy, you've got to hear this. And he brings him to a camp meeting at Easter this year. And he comes to the camp meeting. And he sits in all the pre-camp classes of this pastor looking for the answer, knowing it's right. As the week went on, he heard more and more. Your brother Lauren, brother Bob, brother Dave, brother Schweiger, he heard all these messages. How many is that? 15 messages. Knows it's right. But my friend comes to me on Sunday night at camp meeting and says, this man wants to sit with you. And he sits with me. And I didn't know any of this testimony before. And he starts telling me of this abuse and what it meant and where he is now. And he knows this message is right. But he has not been able to get victory. He's still bound. He still has this oppression and this terrible feelings. And he doesn't know what he's going to do. But he took the CDs of the camp meeting home with him. And now I went back to that country in June to preach. So it had been April, May, June, 3 months later, to do some pastors' conferences. And I get a phone call from my friend. This guy wants to see me again. And I'll be frank with you, I'm not a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. I'm happy to be an evangelist. And the problems of a pastor are way beyond me. I'm not good with that. So he wants me to come to his house and talk to him. And I'm like, oh man, I gotta preach tonight. You know, it's 2:00 in the afternoon and he's gonna drop all this on me and I don't wanna do it. But I owed it to my other friend to do it. And he didn't want anybody else on the team with me. Just me. All right. So I go to his house. They're going to feed me lunch. We sit down in the living room. He's got a nice home. He's got a beautiful daughter, a beautiful wife, and we're sitting there, and he's sitting on the edge of his seat, and I'm waiting for him to drill me, like, how do I do this? And he goes, I got to tell you. And he starts with tears in his eyes. He said that was September. He said, back in July, I woke up one morning, I swung my legs over the side of the bed like I always do to pray, and I realized, I have peace. I have peace. I have not had a bad dream. I haven't had an evil thought. And then he starts thinking, how long has it been? It's been 3 days. 3 days in the last 18 years, never with that kind of peace. And he knows it's because he's got his faith right, believing God, asking the Lord to deliver him, and he's been delivered. Now he goes to his great big church of 2,500 people and a pastor that's not on board. It's total word of faith. And preaches his church as the associate pastor. Out of 2,500 people, 1,000 come to the altar. They have an hour-long altar call with people weeping and crying, repenting of faith and everything else except the cross of Christ. And this man is set free, totally delivered. And that was the church that I preached in September. And we had the same thing. And that pastor, this word of faith man, who's way up in the government in this country, religiously government stuff, they gave me I'm going a little longer on this than I wanted to, but they gave me a light because it's on television. So when the light's yellow, you got 15 minutes. And when the light turned yellow, the man came up on the platform and talked to my translator. I didn't know what they were talking about. I just kept preaching. I was preaching out of Colossians 2:6. People were on the edge of their seat. The Spirit of God was anointing and moving through, talking about the cross, talking about what they can do. And when the light was supposed to turn red, it didn't turn red. I had 5 minutes when it turned red. Well, it didn't turn red, and I finally said, well, let me finish with this. And the pastor, this big dude pastor, stands up and points to the pastor, and he runs up and he says, the pastor says, don't stop preaching. Don't stop preaching. We need this. And he came up on the altar call. We had the altar call went on for an hour again, and this man stood there and said, we have not heard preaching like this in years. This is what we need. The cross of Christ is the answer for our problem. And I can go on and on what's going on in that particular work right now, because they're doing more and more stuff. But the bitter waters was the problem for this man. And he put the cross back in. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that they ever took that tree out. And that tree, as far as I know, is still in that water. If you've taken the cross out, put it back in today. Put it back in for that bitter, that scar, whatever it is, that past hurt. And then they went a little further in the wilderness. Amen? And they come where? They're hungry. Exodus 16, verse 3. They're complaining again. They're not trusting God. They're not believing Him. They're not putting their faith where it needs to be. He's already delivered them from bondage and created a way across the Red Sea, that huge problem, and made the water sweet. And now, just a little couple months later, they're complaining that they're hungry. Verse 3 of Exodus 16. And the children said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to our full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven. The bread comes from heaven. The bread doesn't come from man. Man can't help you when you're hungry. You've got to go to the bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. We must look to Him. And His broken body on the cross. This bread symbolizes and typifies what He would do on the cross. And guess how often we have to go? Every day. They had to eat the man every day. Let's look at it. But let's finish this. He says, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. Why? That I may test them. That I may test them. They didn't pass the test. They didn't pass the test. He's asking us today, don't harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. We must not harden, we must not fail this test. We must believe Him. Whatever your need is, He has it all. It's all about what he has done for us. The manna every day, and I will test them. They were sent in the wilderness to test. Well, guess what? It's a wilderness out there. We're in the wilderness, in the world, but not of it. But we're in the wilderness. Amen? And he says, I will find out whether they walk in my law or not. What is his law? The one he just gave them. Go collect the manna every day. That's the law he just gave. The law hadn't been given yet. They hadn't got to Mount Sinai yet. They've been living under grace. You know, the grace of God was there from the very beginning. The grace of God was there for Adam. Adam sinned. He knows he's naked. He sows fig leaves, a type of religion. He hides on God. God comes down and says, what's this you've done? But what does God do? Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father. He had every right to take his life. And he did die spiritually, separation from God. But he could have taken his life, but no. In Genesis 3:21, we see that God took the life of an innocent animal and took that skin and clothed Adam's nakedness. The grace of God was pointing to the cross of Christ, even in the garden.
God.
It's always been that. Yeah. From Genesis to Revelation, this Bible is about the cross of Christ, the sacrifice of God's Son, the blood. It's always been that way. Cain and Abel, you know the story. Cain goes to God with the works of his hands. Some of us are doing that today. We have to repent of that. God gives him another chance. Won't you do what's right? He says no. Your brother Abel has offered up the more excellent sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb, pointing to Christ. Now they're in the wilderness, and he wants to test them. He wants to find out if they'll believe him or not. Will they believe him? We go to verse 15, Exodus 16, 15. So when the children of Israel saw the manna, they said, what is it? What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? That's what the church world is doing today. My wife and I have been in 10 countries in the last 5 years, traveling around, preaching this word, and they're going, what is it? What is it you're bringing? Right now we've been invited to Brazil. And you know what they wanted? They wanted to know, this is what they told me. Well, we don't really want you to come down here and preach any doctrine. We're cultural people. We want you, we know, what are your topics? What are you going to... So I gave him, I said, okay, I'll give you my topics. How to live for God, how to have a successful marriage, how to have a good career, how to raise a proper godly family. And it's all tied to the cross of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So, but you see what I'm saying? What is it? They're saying that today. What is it? It's manna. It's the broken body of Christ, for they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather according to each one's need. What do we need today? What do you need? What is your need? It's there for you. The broken body of Christ, the bread, the manna, is there for you. Whatever your need is, you don't have to beg for it. You just rest. You just believe God. See, they rebelled by unbelief. That was their rebellion. They didn't believe him. This is the thing which he commanded. Let every man gather according to one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of the persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Some have more needs than others. Some of you need finances. Some of you need healing. Some of you need a job. Some of you need direction. Whatever it is. Whatever you're hungry for the things of God for, he will give them to you. But you have to look to the manna. You have to look to the cross. You have to look for that. For your bondage, the blood on the doorpost, you look to the cross. If you're in bondage. If you're in bondage. If you've got a big problem, the Red Sea. It's the rod. It's the cross over the Red Sea. And the waters parted. The bitter waters, it's the same thing. Put the tree, put the cross in. And the manna, whatever you need. If you're hungry for the things of God, go to the broken body of Christ. Go to the cross of Christ. Then they come to the rock of Horeb. And they're thirsty again. Verse 17. Haven't got to Sinai yet. Haven't got to the law yet. still under the grace of God, still under the promises of God given to Abraham, still believe in God. Supposed to be. Tremendous, incredible miracle after miracle is following them in a very short period of time. And they come to the Rock of Horeb and they're thirsty again, and the people are complaining. They said in verse 2, therefore the people contended with Moses, saying, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses instead of just believing God. I mean, our salvation is a miracle. Our salvation is a miracle. So, I mean, I look back to what the Lord has done in my life, and I need to believe him for the next thing, whatever that is, whatever the purpose, whatever the hurt or discouragement or whatever it is, I have to believe him. And he says, why is it you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children with our livestock and thirst? Verse 6, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out. The rod, a type of the cross, strikes the rock. 1 Corinthians said that rock was Christ. And then the water gushed out, type of the Holy Spirit. As you put your faith in the cross of Christ and what he did there, on that rock being the type of Christ, the Holy Spirit will gush out. If you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it comes through the cross.
Amen.
It comes through the cross. You need the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit in your life, it comes only as you exhibit faith in the cross.
Yes.
You know, the symbol of this ministry, I love it. It's a cross and dove. But we hand out thousands of them all over the world now, as the Lord has showed my wife, to remind them the Holy Spirit exclusively works, intrinsically tied to the finished work of the cross. I don't know if Brother Swigert knew that when he came up with that 30 some years ago, but that logo is exactly what we're preaching. The Holy Spirit and the dove are not separated. It's not one or the other. He only will glorify Christ. He will not lift up a man. So as you keep your faith in the finished work of Christ, the Holy Spirit will move in your life. As you look to that rod, that cross and the rock of Horeb. But they're still complaining. And we go to Numbers 21. In Numbers 21, verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. I'm sorry, verse 4. 21:4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. So this is for you that are discouraged right now. All right, if you're discouraged, we get discouraged. If you're discouraged, and the people spoke against God and against Moses, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Boy, when I read that a week ago, I was like, wow. They loathe the bread. In a lot of the church world today, they're loathing the cross. They don't understand the significance of it. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Revelation 12:11 says, when we stand before God, and we're going to, each one of us are going to stand before. He says, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the death. We overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. When we're standing before God, we overcame, this is our testimony, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is the word of our testimony going to be? I was a missionary to Thailand. I preached chapel. I was a pastor, a president of the Bible. No, the word of our testimony, I overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony, look what Jesus did. Jesus saved me. Jesus healed me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus baptized me. It's all about Jesus. We're not going to be talking about ourselves.
That's right. Hallelujah.
No, because we love not our lives unto death. We have to die. We don't want to die. We don't like to die. Dying's tough, man. Dying, I don't want to. You know, all of me? Well, John the Baptist had to decrease so the Lord might increase. How far did he decrease? He died. He had to die so the Lord would increase. Amen? That's us. In order for us to live this Christian life. So if you're discouraged, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people, and many of the people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." There's their first thing they've done right in a long time. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. It shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." And Moses made a bronze serpent, a type of judgment of God, and put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So if you're discouraged today, the Bible's telling us, the Word of God says, look and live. Look and live. Look at that cross. It's a type of the cross. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So if we come out of Egyptian bondage by the blood, and we cross the Red Sea by the hand of God with the rod over the Red Sea, and the army, Egyptian, the devil is defeated by that same Red Sea, and we get the bitter waters and there's a scar, we look to the tree and the waters, the cross. So whatever the problem, whatever your need, if you're discouraged, you look to the cross. If you're hungry, look to the broken body of Christ, the manna.
Yes.
And now we go back to our text. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to go to chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll wrap up with this. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, now we just finished reading, therefore, Brother Lawrence taught me, therefore is there for a reason. Probably you've heard that. It's there for a reason. He's just told us, don't harden your hearts. The children of Israel did not enter my rest. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, his catapausis rest, that sanctifying rest, that rest that you can have in the middle of your difficulties, in the middle of your problems, in the middle of your discouragement, let us fear lest anyone seem to come short of it. I looked up that word fear. You know what it means? It means be afraid. It means fear. It means fear. It means we need to be afraid. I mean, I don't want to go there like they did. Because they never rested. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they did hear did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. We must apply this word we're hearing and put our faith to it. And that faith must be in the finished work of Christ. It must be. That's the only faith that God will recognize. And that is the faith that he continually tried to show them in the wilderness, was what Jesus would do. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. Do you believe him? You can enter that rest today. As he said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Run down to verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Verse 9. I looked that word up. Guess what? It's a different kind of rest. It's called saptismos. It's the eternal rest. Therefore remains an eternal rest in heaven for us. But this other rest in about five places in Hebrews 4 is the sanctifying catapausis rest. So there therefore remains a eternal rest. Verse 10. For he who has entered his rest, catapausis, has himself also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Well, if it was talking about heaven, of course we're not going to work up there. It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the rest we can have right now. Yes. That catapulsis, reposing, reclining, ceasing from my own labor rest. Right now, even when I'm facing the Red Sea, the cancer in my granddaughter, or the drug addict that's walking in front of my truck, the drug dealer in front of my truck, or the homosexual thoughts from my previous life when I was abused as a child, or the discouragement that I have. I look and rest. I can have that rest, but I must cease from my own works, as God did from His. He rested not because He was tired. He rested because it was finished. Amen. Amen. This work is a finished work. Jesus said on the cross, "Consumat est." Zoconsulus, humana, tapos na. It all means it is finished. The Lord gave us the name of our ministry, and then the name of our ministry is It Is Finished Ministries. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. It is finished.
Yes.
It is finished. What part of that don't we understand? We need the rest. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of unbelief, of disobedience.
Yes.
We have to be diligent. We have to strive. We have to fear. We have to make sure that we're resting. By faith is the only way.
Hallelujah.
Everyone stand, please. Stand up. This altar call is going to be... I've never seen one or done one like this. But the Lord told me to do it this way. Close your eyes. And this is between you and God. I know this is the very end of the semester. And some of you are getting ready to depart. And you're going back to places. This is like a haven, you know. I mean... Let's face it, camp meeting and everything. When I leave camp meeting, I get in the airport, and some lady yells at me because I'm pulling my bag wrong. I'm like, oh, I forgot. I forgot the world really exists. You know, you get on the airplane, and the guy next to you is... Anyway. So you've been in a cocoon here for a long time. But will you rest? Will you trust in the finished work? Close your eyes. This is what I want you to do. If you have a big problem in your life right now, you're facing something, and you don't know, you haven't known how it's going to get handled, I want you to sit down right now and rest. This altar call is opposite and backwards. Sit down. If you have a sin in your life, a bondage, a problem that only the Lord can take care of and did take care of 2,000 years ago, then sit down. Sit down. If you've been discouraged and haven't found rest for your soul, and you now know to look to the cross, look and live, then you sit down too. And if you're just hungry for the things of God, you just want more of the Lord, and that man is the answer, then you sit down. Hallelujah. And let's rest. Let's just rest in this finished work, because He's coming back soon. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can't be just so busy. We must be diligent to enter this rest, to sit and rest in Christ. The message of the cross. The Holy Spirit said the message of the cross is to us that are saved the power of God.
Amen.
It's not a cliche. It's not, it works. If I didn't know it, I'd have gone back on drugs that October 2005. I know it. I thank God that I was able to rest that day. Believe Him. Because the only way you can rest is to believe Him. You can't rest unless you believe Him. They rebelled. They didn't believe Him. But if you believe Him for that problem, if you believe Him for that discouragement, for whatever it is you need, if you're thirsty and the bitter waters of life have captured your heart and there's a scar there, a deep scar, It can be taken away. You can pour your heart out right now to the Lord as you're resting. As you're believing Him. That's what He wants for us. He just wants us to believe Him. That's all He wants. He doesn't ask us to do anything except believe Him. We are righteous and we are holy in the sight of God by faith alone. He sanctifies us by His blood as we rest in that finished work. Everything else is going to burn up. Everything else, Brother Lawrence said the other day on a program somewhere, anything that's not of faith is law. Anything that we're not believing, God took care of it by the sacrifices of His Son, we made it law. So will you rest? Will you just rest in the finished work? It's not that easy. We have to be diligent. We want to jump off and fight the problem. We want to jump off and fight the devil sometimes. We want to jump up and fight our finances. Hallelujah. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Holy Spirit always points us to Christ. The Holy Spirit will not glorify a man. He will not glorify a program of man. He will not put a seal of approval on a system or something that we do. The Holy Spirit only will empower us to do what we're doing right now, resting in Christ, as we have our faith properly anchored in the finished work of Jesus. And it's always been that way. I thank the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the rest for Your people, Lord God. Let each and every one of us not rebel and harden our heart, because as we look to anything else, we have hardened our heart. We're all guilty. But this day forward, we're going to be diligent to rest in the finished work of Your Son's sacrifice on the cross. We're going to look, as we see it in typology through the wilderness, we're going to look to the shed blood of Jesus. And the peace and the grace and the access we have to You comes through that finished work. I want You, Lord, to just touch every heart here. Father, I thank You for this. Touch mine first, God. Let us believe You. I just want simple faith, Lord, in You. Hallelujah. You taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your name gives us everything. You are our provider. You are our deliverer. You are our sanctifier. It's all You, Jesus. It's all You. Hallelujah. Let the line in the sand be drawn. Let it be drawn, Lord God. No other way. No other way, Lord. Only Jesus. I give up. I give up right now. I give up. I'm not fighting this thing anymore. I'm not trying anymore in the flesh. I can't change this thing. But I believe You to change this thing. I believe You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen? Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.